This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Good afternoon, Warren. What are you like when you're driving and you get stopped at a police checkpoint and they want to have a chat with you?
Depends what they want to talk about, I suppose. What am I like?
Do you become full of bravado or do you go meek or do you try to be confident?
No, I just become matter of fact. Seriously, matter of fact. I give them the information they require, no more, no less. Really? I'm just very factual about it. What do you want? I have an underlying distrust still, I suppose, from, you know, the 80s of the police, and sometimes that bubbles up. So I'm always careful, but yes, I always, yeah, they're doing a
good
job.
So you try not to show your disdain?
No, not at all, not at all. I have this thing about, this is really bad, but I feel like... power and authority comes with responsibility, and I'm always sceptical sometimes of who is in the seat of that power at the time. Do they deserve it? Are they, how would they treat me if I was coloured? Would I be treated differently? My partner, for example, got pulled up recently just for a random check, and he came home afterwards and said, oh, I felt like there was a little bit of aggression and racism in it. And I thought, I wonder whether, because I don't get that, being a white person.
I was in the back seat of an Uber a few years ago.
Yeah.
The driver was very dark skinned, and we were pulled over, and the way that cop was intimidating for no reason, right? Because he hasn't been stopped for anything. It was just a roadblock police checkpoint. Mm. And the way the driver had to be so meek. Like he's been sentenced to jail. It was so embarrassing.
See, that's not on at all.
And then the scary cop, went to the back and kind of asked me for my ID.
Oh.
And then and the only ID I have, because I don't drive, is sometimes I carry around my passport. And I produce my passport and he said, oh, Australian passport. And his whole demeanor changed. It was so weird.
What if it wasn't an Australian passport? What do you reckon?
I don't know.
See, I don't.
I just found the way he was so intimidating to be like. It's not as if the guy was speeding or anything. He was just. They were stopping like almost every car that was driving past. I don't know what he was being so intimidating about. Or there was just a way that they carry on when they think that they're doing their job.
And I think this is. And maybe this is where it triggers me. Is I see, you know, see people of power. And I think, you know, you were the boy at school that probably played football, had it easy, picked on others. And I'm assuming, I'm making big assumptions. Let's admit that. I am making these assumptions. But that's what goes on in my head at the time. And now you've been given more power. So I immediately put my little, I suppose, my prejudices up in that respect. And I start to, you know, I'm sensitive to it. Okay, how are you going to behave, etc. And I wonder if that's what a lot of people are. They've gone through, you know, they've gone through their life without challenges, without experiencing what it's like to be discriminated against or to be picked on, bullied, to be part of a minority. And then they're given power. And how do they use that power? And I know that a lot of people use it sensibly and according to the law, but I know there are some that do not know how to, I suppose, control that or temper that power. That's my concern with it. And in the instance you're talking about, that sounds like exactly what's happened.
I once dated a policeman for 11 months.
Oh, did you? Oh, was it because of the uniform?
I do. No, it wasn't. I don't find the Sydney police uniform to be attractive. But I was in a time of my life that I really wanted a lot of safety and security. I felt quite insecure, because of some life circumstances. And for a short time, it was really interesting to walk around with someone that you knew who was going to be able to protect you like never before. But it, He was a really boring person. He was just like a really regimented person, which made me think that, oh, maybe that's why they're attracted to the job. It's just everything for him. He liked everything to be super predictable, and eventually it just became really, really boring. There were a couple of times where I saw him, you know, we were just out, you know, in civilian clothing, and he was just the way he would lash out at someone one time because someone had dropped a piece of something on the ground, like littering, right? Mm. Oh, the way he flew into a rage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the instincts were so scary. And one time when someone has, there was a driving incident, someone was cutting through or something. Oh, the way the speed at which he pulled out his badge and flashed it at the driver. That was a lot of power tripping that he loved doing.
See, that's what worries me, is the power tripping, the ego, when that gets involved. And I don't know. And you know, I'm sure they deal with a lot of terrible people, and they do a very important job. And good on them for doing that, credit where it's due. But I don't understand why they need to be aggressive towards someone who just dropped a piece of litter. Why can't you just say, hey, excuse me, could you please pick up that piece of litter? We don't need to explode at people.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the nature of the job. I think because they encounter quite regularly very dangerous situations. So when it's time to work, they just become, you know, really intimidating, really scary, really quickly.
When it's appropriate, though, I mean, isn't the reaction meant to be proportional to whatever the event has happened? I don't know, Susie. I'm skeptical. I don't know. Maybe we need
You'd think that it needs to be proportionate, but I think humans maybe are not capable of that much, variance when they're at work. Maybe when they're at work, they're just at work. Who knows?
Who knows? Susie, I'm sorry you had that experience in the car, though. That sounds like it would have been quite frightening.
Yeah, I was very grateful I was carrying my passport that day.
Yeah, I wonder what would have happened if otherwise. Today, we are talking about The Truth of Jussie Smollett, which is streaming on Netflix at the moment. Susie, give us your review.
It was 2019 when gay African-American actor Jussie Smollett made international news. We heard that he had encountered a homophobic and racist attack late one night, physically assaulted, and left with a noose around his neck on the streets of Chicago. As the story gained momentum, further information emerged from the Chicago Police Department that indicated that the whole thing was a hoax staged by Smollett himself, presumably to increase his profile as a rising star in Hollywood. When two black men confessed to the falsified crime, claiming that Smollett had paid them to stage the whole incident, we all turned immediately against Smollett, disgusted by his efforts to use racism and homophobia for personal gain. In the new Netflix documentary, The Truth About Jussie Smollett, we revisit the famous case and now, 6 years later, discover shocking new facts that point to Smollett being framed and wrongfully accused. Smollett was briefly jailed and fined as a felon, and as is the nature of the news cycle, we all quickly moved on and forgot all about the scandal. But now it appears that we had jumped to conclusions and were never given the bigger truths, which now can be seen in this Netflix documentary. We can deduce that there was a big cover-up by the Chicago Police Department, which appears to have been involved in corruption at many levels. They made Smollett a laughing stock, and we all went along with their version of the story. I remember very complex feelings when following the case 6 years ago. Smollett was an important figure emerging in the media landscape, playing a prominent gay character in hit TV series Empire, and officially coming out as gay himself on the Ellen Talk Show. There are extremely few black queer people making the A-list, and Smollett looked like he was well on the way to becoming one of the biggest gay stars of color, so I found myself very invested when I heard that he had suffered an attack, and quickly felt betrayed by what seemed to be his selfish actions, using community support for something so egregiously exploitative. Now, in The Truth About Jussie Smollett, I see that we had all been manipulated to judge too quickly, that we had fallen for a system that routinely fails queer and black people. It is so hard to wrap my head around these 6 years of villainizing Smollett, only to find out how he was the real victim all this time. I love Netflix documentaries anyway, but because this one involves all the themes that are important to me, this film spoke particularly powerfully. Warren, I know you're not one to enjoy entertainment news too much, but I'm curious to hear if this doco resonated with you.
It did resonate with me, Susie. I feel like, you know, I feel like it's reopened almost like a bit of a wound, hasn't it? Because the case gave fuel to those who already question queer people's credibility in the beginning. But like you said, the LGBTIQ plus community was let down and Smollett was let down. And if you look at it, it raises that tough question. When someone reports a hate crime, should we always believe first that the hate crime happened? Or does a high-profile hoax story make people more sceptical in general? It left me with lots of questions, Susie. I didn't know where to land with it, to be honest. I found, you know, the story blew up. It shows the power of the headlines, what happened in 2019. And it made me think, do media outlets really, do they have a responsibility to slow down and fact check before amplifying stories like this? Because ultimately, we see what the media portrays, don't we? And we see what social media portrays, and we start to believe that rather than question it. And that's what happened here, don't you reckon?
I think we were very careful because in 2019 we had already become very sophisticated in using social media. We knew about, you know, all kinds of fake news and hoaxes and stuff like that. But I think because all the false information had come from the authorities, it felt like that was the final say of everything, that it had come from the courts, it had come from the police, and it had come from the people we thought were the perpetrators or the fake perpetrators. So even though, you know, many of us probably wanted the best for Smollett, it was really hard. It was really hard to believe him after all this, all the stuff was presented to us like they were all, incontrovertible evidence.
How do you feel now towards him?
Oh, I feel so sad for him because his career was on the best trajectory you can imagine. And overnight it was chopped off, and we knew that he was never going to come back because it was so serious. And it was so egregious, not towards just kind of general Hollywood, but to our community, because it felt like he was doing something so terrible to people who were supporting him just because he was one of the very few people that were gay and black in the media. And it felt like it was so hurtful towards us, and it felt like he was never going to be able to come back. And sure enough, we never heard more about the further developments beyond finding him guilty until now. So it was 5-6 years of him, of his wasted life, you know, what could have been a really great career. And I guess now I'm hoping that he can stage a return somehow.
Do you think he can? Do you think someone will enable that to happen?
I know last Christmas he directed a movie, which I was surprised to see. He didn't star in it. And I thought, oh, is he trying to kind of create a career behind the scenes? But that movie kind of sank without a trace, and then nothing happened until now he's come back. And, you know, Netflix is fairly high profile. So hopefully the tide changes for him, you know, and because there isn't an official sort of court situation that allows him to be, you know, reverse everything and tell everyone that he's innocent. It's only a documentary. And I think because it's only a documentary, they can't be too explicit about a lot of the things that they're claiming to have discovered. So, you know, I think some people are still going to watch the documentary and think, oh, I don't know which to believe. But, you know, I feel like the documentary makes it so hard to disbelieve these claims. So hopefully things improve for him because, it was really tough. What he's been through is really, really, really tough.
We're chatting with Susie Rong about Netflix's The Truth About Jussie Smollett. It's a documentary digging into truth, trust and the fallout from one of the most infamous scandals in recent times. Susie, just on what you were talking about at the beginning of the conversation, the way race intersected with sexuality here was absolutely huge. Would the public and police reaction have been different if Jussie wasn't black or if he wasn't gay?
I think so. I feel like I think that the documentary went through a bit of the history of the Chicago Police Department. I think they did mention some of their past corruption, cases of corruption. And they, I think they tried to show some of their, the race and homophobia issues that they have in there. And, you know, I don't think it comes as any surprise to any of us that these systems of policing have these problems, you know. I don't question that a lot of them wanted to change, you know, people in there, I'm sure there are people in there who are trying to make things change, make a change, but some of these problems are so entrenched and so old, you know, and in this case, it's so clear. And the film doesn't go into why really, well, I feel like there was a cover-up, and I feel like there were a few clues that demonstrated a cover-up. And it makes me think about other documentaries of this nature, many of them are on Netflix, about how in a lot of places, a lot of American towns, that the police themselves are covering up for people that they have relationships with. So it may, I formed this narrative that the two white men who were eventually caught on camera to have assaulted Smollett. It makes me imagine that they have a relationship somehow with some people in the police department, and which is why they went to such lengths to do this to create this big to frame Smollett that the way they did, because the documentary doesn't quite explain why they went through such trouble to make Smollett the bad guy.
And his conviction, I mean, it was overturned because, not because he was cleared, but because of due process issues. I mean, does that muddy people's trust in the whole justice system anyway? It does to me.
Yeah, it really does. I think there is no truth that was uncovered in any part of the court process. And it ended with that moment of the due process issue. So we never got anywhere near the truth until now in a Netflix documentary, which many people will not take seriously. So I guess we can only look at it and see that it's a really big problem, or, you know, and probably a very big problem, much bigger problem in America and the US than over here, I would hope.
Susie Rong, Twitter or /X, Instagram, they played a massive role in spreading and then tearing down the story. Do you reckon the documentary has made us rethink how much power these platforms have?
It does talk a little bit about that. I do feel like social media has changed a lot since then. I think the toxicity went to a peak around that time of the Smollett case, 2019, 2020, 2021. And then things started changing. I think too many people got affected, and too many people have had negative experiences. Like, you left social media completely. Now,
gone.
Yeah, and now there's this thing called posting zero, where people, you know, go on there to look at things that companies and famous people post, and, you know, it's no longer the social media that it was back in the day, where it was very, very you know, like everyone would participate in it, interactive. So I think things have changed. I feel people have become much more protective of their privacy and of their safety, which is a good thing. But still, lies are peddled online constantly. I do believe that we continue to be sophisticated, try to be sophisticated in how we approach social media, but it is hard when they want to fool you into thinking whatever they want you to think. They still manage to do that.
Susie, perhaps, and we'll finish on this question, perhaps the hardest question, did this case make it harder for real victims to come forward? And what's the responsibility of storytelling, like this documentary, which is the truth about Jussie Smollett, in repairing that damage?
I think it's always been difficult. I don't think this case, I don't think it's made it more difficult. It's always been difficult, you know, for women, who, especially who suffer sexual assault, especially if you're a woman of color. And then if you're queer people, it's also very, you know, it's probably harder in a lot of cases. And I don't think it's made things harder. It's just never, it's not helped. And, ooh.
That's my dog.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, it's always difficult, but we always have warriors amongst us. Mm. We always have people who are very brave and who fight for justice, and they do chip at these problems slowly, and people continue their work every day.
Susie Rong, love chatting with you. What are we watching next week?
Something much lighter. It's Stories from My Gay Grandparents, streaming on YouTube. It's a comedy web series from Canada about gay siblings dealing with their grandparents suddenly coming out and having to introduce them to queer friends and a new queer life. Sounds like a lot of fun. So check it out before I see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.